The faith of Jesus, that's what we're talking about and have been for the last few weeks. The faith of Jesus. A lot of people feel like, well, I didn't know he had to have faith. I thought he just walked around the earth and did what he did and just magic. That was like Superman. It was just magic. And we're going to see today that really wasn't true. Did Jesus need faith? I put this on this first slide. Did Jesus walk by faith? Some people say, no, he didn't have to do that. He's not like us. He's not a sinner like us. Did he walk by faith? Did he operate by faith in this world? We're going to look at that for a little while. In fact, the next slide has Hebrews 11, verse 6. And the Bible says there, it's a phrase you hear a lot, a passage you hear a lot. Without faith, kind of hard to please God. But you can do it if you try. Is that what it says? Without faith, it's what?
Impossible.
What's impossible mean? Well, down here we would say, ain't going to happen. It just can't happen. It's impossible. Pleasing God is relationship. Relationship with God is the closest relationship you will ever have through Christ. Relationship to the Father is the closest relationship you will ever have. It's a relationship. And if you don't trust Him, that's not a very good relationship. You have no reason not to trust Him. Do you? If you look at what He's done in your life, I mean, hard times and good times, ups and downs, but He's still been there. So trusting in Him. Without faith or without trust in Him, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who pleases God, it goes on to say, must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him earnestly. So is it impossible to please God without faith? Next slide. Jesus said this in John 8:29, the one who sent me is with me. Who sent him? The Father sent him. John 8:29. This is easy to read version on the slide there. The one who sent me is with me. I always do what pleases him, so he has not left me alone. Did Jesus say he always pleased the Father? Did the Father say he pleased him? This is my son, he said at Jesus' baptism. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Did he please the Father? So he must have had faith. If he pleased the Father, he must have had faith. He pleased the Father. Therefore, he had faith. Do you want to please the Father? Is that your desire in life? I want to know Him. I want to please Him. I want to walk with Him. The more you look at this earth and what goes on the earth has been going on since Adam and Eve, you say, I know this is not my home. I'm just passing through. I want to do the best job I can while I'm here. I'm on a tour of duty and I'm moving on soon. But what I want to do is please Him. I want Him to look at me and smile. I want God to say, there's one of my kids right there. Look at how they love me. Look at how they trust me. That's the greatest experience in life. Money can't buy that. Nothing you can do can earn that. It comes through Christ. So faith comes from hearing. And then we found out by that next slide. Faith comes, this is Romans 10 verse 17. How does faith come? By hearing, from hearing. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Romans 10, 17. So I put that next line up there. Christ's faith operated as he heard from his Father. You're about to learn something about faith. If you think my faith is weak and I don't have much faith and I don't know why I don't have more faith, I don't know why I get so troubled about things, I don't know why I just can't seem to get it together, I don't seem to believe in God like I should. Well, you're going to find out some things here. How does faith come? Romans 10, 17 gives you one of the keys. And that is that faith comes by hearing. You have to hear from God. You have to hear from God before you can operate in faith. Faith comes by hearing. If you're not hearing, if you never hear, you don't have any faith. You can't have any faith. If you hear some, then you have a little faith. The more you hear, the more you practice it, the more you have faith. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing who? Who are you listening to? You listen to the Father, right? Well, where's His primary way to speak to you? Through the Word. Primary way. Other ways, too. You can watch life and God will tell you some things. Or you can listen in your conscience and learn some things. You can listen in the inner voice. Not audible voices, but the inner voice. A lot of ways God speaks, but primarily through His Word. And if you get some impression and you're not sure about it, open the book. And if anything you get contradicts this book, believe the book, right? The Word of God. You believe the Word of God. So faith comes by what? It comes by an interaction with the Word of God. No Word of God, no faith. Tiny spoonful of Word of God, how much faith? Tiny spoonful of faith. So you got to have time in this Word. Listen to it. Some people don't like to read. They don't read well, or they never learned to read that well. Don't enjoy reading. That's okay. You can listen. There are probably videos out there. The Bible on video. I know the Bible is on audio. You can get it all over the place free, usually. There's no excuse. If you really have a drive and a determination, you can do it. You can find out what He wants. Next slide, I'm going to give you some statements of Jesus to show His faith. The next slide has John 5, verse 30. I can do nothing on my own. Jesus, what? Jesus said that. What did He say? I can't do what my Father sent me to do. I can't do it by myself. That gives you an idea or a key as to why He needed faith. Why He operated in faith. What did He say? I can do nothing on my own. This is New American Standard Bible, which is a very accurate translation, by the way. As I hear, what did He say? As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Oh, there's the key. If you want your own will, if you got to have your own will and your own way, you're not listening to God much. You're saying, I don't know. I don't like to read the Bible. I don't like to go to church that much. What are you saying? I'd rather do it my way. I've been there. We get conflicted about that. We say, I want God's will, but not too much. I want God's will, but only when I'm suffering and need help. But, you know, I want God's will, but in little doses, okay? I'm afraid I'll wind up being a missionary to Madagascar or somewhere. You know, I don't think I want to. If God sent you there, you'd love it. If God's in it, you would love it. The joy of the Lord is our strength, isn't it? You'd have the joy of the Lord. The will of God. Jesus said, I don't seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Is that a good pattern for us? Is that a good example for me and for you to say, I want to live like Jesus lived? He said He just wanted to know what His Father wanted, and then He would salute and go do it. Say, yeah, look at what it got Him into. They crucified Him. Yeah. But that was not just His example. That was His example for us, but that was also His ministry to us. You're not going to have to die a horrible death on a cross. I don't imagine. God's will is the best thing could happen to you. When Jesus said, I want your will, and then in the garden He said, but if there's any other way, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. When Jesus did the will of God, was that the best thing for you? It was the best thing for me, because He did the heavy lifting. We do the rest. Do we need to know God's will? Yes. So, I don't do anything, He said. Next slide, John 5, 19. These are Jesus' statements, and you'll see why I'm telling you those here in a minute. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father do, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Now, look at that again. He said the Son can do nothing by Himself. Who's the Son? Jesus. Jesus said, I don't do this by myself. So why are we trying to do it by ourselves and fail continually? I don't do that. He said that. I didn't make that up, did I? He said, I don't do this by myself. I don't do this by myself. I can do nothing by myself. He's talking about the Son, which is Himself. He only does what He sees His Father doing. So He watched the Father. He listened to the Father. The next slide has this. John 8:28. Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me." Was Jesus good at listening to His Father? Was He good at respecting His Father's will? There's a key in that. "When you have lifted up the Son of Man," John 8:28, "then you will know that I am He." Some versions add, "I am the one I claim to be," but the "I am" or "I am He" is a reference back to Moses where he said, "I am." Jesus said it several times. "Before Abraham was born, I am." Oh, they wanted to stone Him to death because they knew He was comparing Himself to God. They said he's considering Himself equal to God, calls Himself the Son of God. He thinks He's equal to God. We need to put Him to death. And they did eventually, although they couldn't stop the resurrection. "Then you know I am here. I do nothing on my own, but do just what the Father, but speak just what the Father has taught me." Next slide, John 8:47. "Whoever belongs to God hears what God says." Do you ever remember being in class as a kid? The teacher's talking, you're not even listening, you're talking to your neighbor, and finally the teacher stops you and calls your name and says, "Did you hear me?" What's she mean? You heard the noise come out of my mouth, but you didn't really listen. What does that say? Whoever belongs to God does what? Sometimes hears from God, no. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. Will God speak to you? He wrote a whole book. It's just, you got to open it. You got to say, "I want to know what's in it." 119th Psalm, longest chapter in the Bible, I believe. 119th Psalm is beautiful in many places because he talks about things like, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Oh, how I love your law. Oh, how I love your words." It goes on and on and on. We need to fall in love. If you love God, you claim you love God with all your heart, but you never open His book, you don't love God with all your heart. Because He wrote this for you. And so you have to say, "Oh, let me read that." I have seen stories, you probably have too, of women who, one passed away recently, whose husband was, he's gone long gone, but he was in World War II, and wrote love letters to her from the combat zone, and she kept all the love letters, and he got back safely, and they married, you know, were married, and had a good life together. Why'd she keep all those love letters wrapped up in a box and a ribbon? Her granddaughters found all these beautiful love letters. Why'd she keep the love letters? Because she loved the one that wrote them. Why do you treasure the Bible? Because you love the one who wrote it. And you say, "I want to know. I want to read it enough to see His heart, to see His thinking, to understand what, I want to love what He loves and hate what He hates." There's a passage like that, isn't there? The Word of God. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. He told His enemies that. They were trying to persecute Him and trying to put Him to death. And they did eventually. He said, "You're not listening to God." He said, The reason you do not hear God is that you do not belong to God. You haven't signed on to be one of His. You don't believe in me, He said. You don't believe I'm the Messiah, so you don't have God, therefore you don't listen to God. The world is not listening to God, is it? Turn to John chapter 11. On the next slide there, we're going to camp in this for just a minute, John chapter 11. I want you to watch how Jesus operated. He did some things here you wouldn't expect. John chapter 11. He did some things that that disappointed there for a little while some of the people that needed him. He didn't show up when they needed him. And they were a little disappointed because he wasn't operating by human pressure. He was operating by what his Father is saying to him. John 11. Did I give you time to find it? Maybe I did. John chapter 11. Follow it through because we're going to stick to this for a minute. Now a man named Lazarus, verse 1, was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one. Mary was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "The Lord, the one you love, is sick." Jesus was probably 2 days away. If you track it from up around, up in Galilee, say around Capernaum, down to where they were in Bethany and Jerusalem, that's 125 miles. Now, 125 miles, we could make that in, what, a couple of hours. Some of you make it in an hour, probably. You drive about that fast. He's about 2 days away. Look it up online. It's some fascinating reading about how the Jews who were up in Galilee got to the... They had to go every year down to the Passover, to the certain feasts they had to go to in Jerusalem. 125-mile trek. Guess how they got there? They didn't ride a bus. They didn't catch an airplane. Walked. Or rode some kind of animal. Or maybe a cart. Lord, the one you love is sick. How'd they get that? I wondered how they get that message there. They didn't have phones. They didn't have email. They didn't have... How'd they get it there? Somebody had to go tell. Maybe they passed the word along to people who knew people who knew people. And finally, the message got up there. Lord, the one you love is sick. When Jesus heard this, he said, This sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, that the Son may be glorified. Verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was. How long?
Two more days.
What? That's not very good pastoral ministry, is it? Verse 4. That is a faith statement. What did Jesus say? This sickness will not end in death. He didn't say he wasn't going to die. He said it won't end there. Look at Jesus' faith. How do you have faith? You hear, we already found out he heard from his Father for everything. You hear, and what's he doing? Speaking what he hears. If the Father told him, go down there and heal Lazarus, and I'll be with you, and you will heal Lazarus. And then the disciples said, Lazarus is sick. If Jesus said, I don't know, he might get well and he might not, what did he just do? Contradicted everything his Father told him. Faith hears from God, and faith is not afraid to speak it. Because if you speak against it, you just canceled it. Jesus was a faithful son because he spoke what the Father told him. So the Father evidently told him it's not going to end in death. You'll see that later in the chapter. No, it's for God's glory that God's Son may be glorified through it, through the sickness. You know, sickness doesn't glorify God. Some people think so. What glorifies God? When you get healed. Is Jesus going to raise Lazarus from the dead? You know the story, don't you? That glorified the Father, didn't it? Look at the rest of it. Verse 7. Said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. That's a 2-day walk. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there. He answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by the world's light. That's a key. Don't let that get past you. What did he say? They said, why are you going back down there? They tried to kill you. What does he say? It seems like that doesn't fit, but it really does. Sounds like he's talking about something Jesus did that sometimes, right? He's talking about daylight. He said, they said, why are you going back there? They tried to kill you. Are there not 12 hours of daylight? It sounds like he's off the subject, but he's not. 12 hours of daylight. A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It's when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. No light. No light. What's Jesus waiting for? Light. They said, why are you going to go? I'm going to follow the light. When I get it, when I get what the Father wants, he's already said you're going to raise him from the dead. But he didn't get, evidently Jesus had not heard yet when to go. Notice this. Verse 11. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I am going there to wake him up. Is that a faith statement? It's faith. Can you talk your faith this week? Well, I don't know how to talk my faith. Try something simple like what Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I will say rejoice. So you go around rejoicing, don't you? Simple things. I'm going to wake him up. Verse 12, his disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. What are they thinking? Well, you know, if you get a fever, you just rest. The doctor said, go home, get some rest. Take two aspirin, whatever. Disciples are not, they're thinking flesh, right? They're thinking now, here and now. They're not thinking about maybe he heard something. They didn't have much faith in him, did they? Verse 13, Jesus had been speaking of his death, but the disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. One of the sisters said, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. Now he says, I'm glad I wasn't there. That doesn't sound very pastoral, does it? The pastor's supposed to be holding Johnny on the spot, you know, and help you out. Jesus listened to his Father. He didn't let people pressure him. I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. It says that he stayed where he was, what, two more days? Two more days he waited. He waited for light. Verse 6 says he stayed there two more days. And then he talks about light, getting light. And now he's starting to get light. And in verse, because he's praying. He's praying. Jesus was up in that part of the country teaching and doing other things. And when he heard about Lazarus, would it surprise you to know that Jesus started praying? That wouldn't be a surprise, would it? He prayed. Do you get light when you pray? If you read the Word and you get light from that, and you get light when you pray. And he's praying and he's listening to his Father and he's listening. And now he says, let's go. I like verse 16 because this is us. Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let's go also that we may die with him. Thomas basically hasn't heard a thing Jesus said. It's like, well, we go. We're all going to die down there. Didn't they try to kill Jesus earlier? And now they said, why do you want to go? They're going to kill you. Try to kill you again. And Thomas said, well, let's go. Let's all die with him. Verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been in the tomb. How long? 4 days. Jesus waited 2 days. Then it took 2 days to get there. That's 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them at the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Because Mary didn't know it, probably. Mary was the one always first, always sat at the feet of Jesus listening when Martha was upset that Mary wouldn't help cook. You know, Martha evidently didn't hear that. Verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Verse 23. Here comes another faith statement. What is this faith statement? Your brother will rise again. Now, people say, that's what I'm telling you. Jesus is Superman. He'd go in and wave a wand and, you know. Jesus said, I wait, I hear. I hear from my Father. I want light. I want light as to when to go. The Father had evidently told him, stay put. Stay put where you are. Yes, sir. Do you know, this says he loved that family, Mary, Martha, Lazarus. Do you think it would be hard on him just to wait? Lazarus is sick. I could get down there in time maybe to just heal him. But he waited. Sometimes it's hard to wait. Sometimes you have to wait to get clarity. How many people? I don't mean to criticize, but I've seen it all my life, all my ministry life. How many people rush into a marriage and then it doesn't work? If they had just waited a little while and prayed about it. I'm not trying to make you feel bad if you've been through that. I'm just saying Jesus operated a different way. And we want to operate, don't you want to operate the way he did? I want to hear from God, and I want God to help me make decisions from the Word of God, right? And get where and be where I need to be when I need to be there. Verse 21, Martha said, "If you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know even now God will give you whatever you ask." Faith statement coming. He says, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know he'll rise in the resurrection." She said, "I am." He said, "I am the resurrection." Is that a faith statement? I'm the resurrection. My Father gave me that task to die and be raised. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. He's talking about dying spiritually, right? There's a spiritual death and there's a physical death. "Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Well, after verse 28, by the way, verse 27 is her faith statement. What'd she say she believes? What does she say she believes? "You're the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back, called her sister Mary. The teacher is here, so Mary rushed out to see him. Verse 32. John 11:32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. Martha didn't do that. Mary's the one that anointed Jesus with the perfume, costing about a year's wage. Mary's the one that got down on her knees, wiped her feet with his hair, with her hair rather, wiped his feet with her hair. And one reference says she was had lived a bad life in that town. She was known for her reputation. But boy, when Jesus shows up, she's on her face. Gratitude. Ungrateful Christians do not realize what God has done for them. If you'd been here, my brother would not have died. That hurts a pastor's heart, doesn't it? When the family says, "I'm sorry." If you'd been here, you know, you failed us this time. If you'd been here. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" Deeply moved in spirit. Does Jesus weep when you weep? Does he hurt when you hurt? Yeah. Of course he does. We don't worship an iron God sitting up on a stone pedestal somewhere. Jesus is the Son of God, and he's human. They showed him, and it says in verse 35, Jesus did what? Wept. He loved these people. They were friends of his. He had stayed in their house many times because their house was not far from Jerusalem. It was a stopover place. Evidently, he spent the night there some. He loved these people. He wept. The Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Well, wait a minute. Couldn't he have opened it? Anybody that can open the eyes of a blind man, couldn't he have kept this man from dying?" Verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. He said, "Take away the stone." Take away the stone. Is that a faith statement? Mm-hmm. Why does he want the stone moved out of the way? Well, he could have moved it himself, but he wants them to participate. You know, God wants you to participate in your salvation. He wants you to participate in your progress. Take the stone away, because I'm about to do something. It's what he's saying. But Lord, Martha said, the sister, Martha, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, faith is everything. I mean, it's an amazing thing. It's a great gift of God when you have faith and you walk by faith. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? How many massive, difficult, terrible problems do we face that we don't look for the glory of God, that God is working, and it give him time, he's going to work this thing out, and the glory of God, you'll start seeing the glory of God if you have faith. Verse 41, so they took away the stone. Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I think that's past tense, isn't it? He didn't say, Father, I thank you you're hearing me. I thank you that what? You have already heard me. Had he been praying about this? Mm-hmm. Had he found out, listening to his father, go down there, wait 2 days, go down there and raise that boy from the dead, and that will glorify me and glorify you too. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Father, I thank you, you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. Wow, what a statement. I thank you, Father, you've heard me. Standing in front of a dead man and everybody watching him. Crowd. I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit, he's saying this out loud, for the benefit of those who are standing there, that they may believe that you sent me. And then verse 43, the supreme faith statement. What is that one? He said to them, I'm sorry, I'd skipped ahead, verse 43. He called out in a loud voice. What did he say? Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out. When Jesus said that, did he think, oh, I hope this works. I'm going to be so embarrassed if Lazarus just lays there and doesn't do... That's the way we would think, right? You might even get kind of jacked up to say something like that over somebody that's sick, but then you think, oh, I hope it works. How did Jesus know it was going to work? He listened. He listened to his father. Lazarus, come forth. We know what happened then, right? He came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. And he begins to talk then about all the people that believed on Jesus. This next slide that we're about done, I gave you an anatomy of Jesus' faith so you can imitate this. First thing under that Jesus' powerful faith, what's the first thing? You got to listen to God. Find a way, find a time, find a method. Get in the book. You don't have to become a Bible expert. We're not talking about coming to the place where you can get up and teach a class. That would be fine if you're going to do that, but most people are not going to do that because that's a special calling. We're all called. Didn't we read about the body? We're all different parts and all have different functions. So everybody doesn't have to be an upfront public Bible teacher, but you got something you can do. You hear. You hear from him. You get in the word because you want to hear, because you love him, you seek him, you want to know him, and you start hearing. What's the next thing you did that Jesus did? He opened up his mouth, and he wasn't afraid to say, Lazarus, come out. I still remember, I've told that old corny joke before, but I still remember the old preacher saying one time, it's a good thing he said Lazarus. Oh, they would all come out. He got specific. You, come here. To a dead man. And the dead man came out. The power of God exercised through a man's faith. What's the third one? He acted. He heard his father. He spoke what his father told him to say. and told people what the Father was going to do. And then what else did he do? He acted on that. And the last line up there says, and that's how our faith works. That's how your faith works. That's how my faith works. If it's not working, people think, oh, I just don't have any faith. How come? It's not magic. Just imitate Jesus. You say, but that was Jesus. He could do anything. You know what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, I think it was. Not on the screen there, but Peter said, he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Sure, that was Jesus, but we have the same Holy Spirit operating in us. So don't, you can't get off the hook that easy to say, oh, that was him. He could do miracles. I'm not saying you're going to raise the dead. What I'm saying is let's start working on our faith. And you'll see some amazing things happen. The last slide we have up here, some of you know, most of you know, I think, that we have a notebook up here full of names, and we pray over these. So don't bail out on me now. You're going to have to pray too. You know, you're part of this just as much as I am. You're part of this sermon just as much as I am. We talked about that Wednesday night. There's an anointing, not on me, but on you too. Not just on me. We're in a network of spirits, a network of human spirits, and we're interacting right now on a level that you can't see with your eyes. You have to see it with your heart. We pray over these names because these are people who need Christ. I mean, if you have names, go in that room in there, take a little right. There's a little table there, and there's some sheets you can fill out. This one here, I'm not going to call any names because this is, we use this confidentially. We don't publish these names. We pray over these names. Three right here on that page. Names of somebody turned it. I don't even know who turned these in. We've got 32 pages of names. These are people that somebody's concerned enough about to turn their name in that we can pray. God will open their heart. Or some of them have just quit. And they've been prayed for. As they've been prayed for, we pray that the Lord will bring them back. So pray with us now. Father, we are grateful, so grateful for Jesus, not just what he did for us, but also for his example. And for that example, Father, we thank you. We thank you that he is our Savior, that he is our example, that we want to follow him in all things. So we pray for these individuals, Father, that you said no one can come to you. Jesus said no one can come to you unless the Father draws them. We want you to draw these people to you, Father. We ask you to do that. We know that you said if we don't ask, we don't have, that you want human interaction in all these situations. You expect us to hear from you and to speak out in faith and to act. And to act. So as soon as we hear that some of these people know how to get a hold of them or talk to them or teach them, we'll do that. We will act on our faith. But we have faith, Father, that you're right now working to turn this nation around and working to win these individuals to Christ. May you do that, Father, and we thank you for hearing us in Christ's name. Amen.